Welcome back, welcome back. Good afternoon. And if you're not joining us, this is Freedom 106.5 FM. We are the station where you get to speak your mind. It's where your talk matters. Carrie V, I'm here. I'm going all the way to 6 p.m. So before the break, I was telling you guys we are going to dive straight into have discussions about mental health awareness, back to school jitters. So this is where children are involved when it comes to mental health. So with me, please help me welcome Dawn Petgrave, a licensed associate psychologist, and Mr. Carlos Spencer, motivational speaker. Hello, good afternoon, guys, and welcome to Freedom.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Yes, afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm great. So before we start, let me just give a little background on you guys for our listeners so that they'll understand, you know, who we're talking with and how important you guys are in today's world, you know. Right? So Carlos V. Spencer, he's a graduate of the University of Buffalo, former Div 1 scholarship athlete, and former new NYS police officer. Oh, nice. He owns two companies, Carlos V. Spencer Speaks and Grace and Mercy Productions. Nice, great. And he's also a father, a businessman, and a leader. Now, Carlos is also the author of the book Flip the Switch. Now, his main goal in life is for his children and children's children to one day look at pictures of him and say, wow, daddy, thank you. This is real cool. His motto is, let's go, let's grow, and let's get it. So we have as well Dawn Petgrave, a licensed associate counseling psychologist, associate forensic psychologist, complex trauma specialist, life coach, educator, and pastor. Woo! Girl, yes! Now, Ms. Petgrave is a member of the Jamaican Psychological Society and a member of the Board of Visitors for the St. Catherine Adult Correctional Facility. Now, she even holds a double master's degree in forensic psychology and counseling psychology. And she's also the founder of a Life Care Center, a center offering free counseling for the International Church of the Four Square Gospel. She's also the CEO and founder of D. Marie Institute Limited. Now, Ms. Petgrave currently works in private practice and lectures at the Jamaican Theological Seminary. Welcome. Oh my gosh, y'all are so awesome. I'm feeling inspired. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's actually a pleasure being here again.
Nice.
Most definitely.
Oh, nice. Great. So let's talk. Let's go straight into it, yeah? Children, back to school, mental health. What is that? How does that exist from compared to 10 or 15 years ago? How is it so important now?
Well, mental health has always been important. I think it's just one of the things we don't talk about, especially in the Caribbean. I think, you know, we see all the negative impact of COVID, but I think COVID has also heightened the fact that mental wellness is a topic that we need to be talking about. Right. And so, again, even with children, we don't think that children can experience anxiety or stress. So many times I hear parents asking children, what do you have to be stressed about? But we really, really have to understand childhood traumas, how that affect them and the things that cause traumas within children. And I'm so glad that we're having this conversation. Mm-hmm. I heard you mention earlier 23 migrant students will be entering school. Can you imagine what the first day of school is going to be like for those students?
It is going to be hectic.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and this is why we need to have these conversations.
Nice. So getting back to school, getting back out there, whether it's a new school, whether it's an old school, we as parents, we must pay attention to that, right? We must pay attention to how our children react and how they talk, shouldn't we?
Absolutely. And I think more than ever, especially with the rise in human trafficking, I don't know how it is in Trinidad, but this is a worldwide problem that is just growing. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, it's the number 2 largest organized crime worldwide.
Wow.
And so it is important that parents are having conversation with their children. How was school today? What happened? Who are your friends? I mean, you know, just having conversations with them, talking with them, spending time with them so that we can develop friendships, so that when something do happen, you would be the first person they turn to.
Right, right, right. So
yeah, I also think too is a wise time for children to choose wisely, right? Choosing your parents, choosing your friends, choosing your associates. There's a statistic that shows, you know, your income is the average of the five people that you hang around. I go into schools, I get a chance to talk to a lot of students. And one thing I say to them often is I don't have to look at your grades to know what your grades look like. I can look at the five people that you hang around most.
Right.
And pretty much your grades are going to be close to the grades of those children that you hang around the most. So I think it's a good time to choose your friends wisely, to see what kind of people you want to be around, especially if you're making that transition from high school, or excuse me, from middle school to high school. These could be some lifelong friends. I have three children who are recent graduates from high school. And a lot of the friends that they had in high school are some of the friends they have now. And the friendships that they've held on to were the ones that served them well.
Right.
Friends that were good to them and friends that they were good to. My last child, out of my oldest three who just graduated, she's going to the military. Guess what? Two or three of her friends are also going to the military. So she's around different people who are doing the same things, who are going down the same success path. So I think for children, having that conversation with them, to choose the people who you hang around wisely and pay attention to the habits of your friends.
Right. Now, Carlos, I'm coming to you because I was coming straight to you after with a question like this. You know, you ever heard these statements, you know, the upbringing and a child, the way how a child behaves starts at home? You ever heard that statement before?
Oh, most definitely. I think that school, a lot of times we're looking for school to do things for children that should be done at home. We're looking for school to be the parent. School should put some emphasis on things that have already been taking place. Our parents, our grandparents, those people who are around our children, we should be able to raise our children to prepare them for a school environment. And then once they get to school, school should be add-on. There should be add-on. There should be things that are added to what you've already done. I fortunately, myself and the children of the mother of my children, we homeschooled. We homeschooled for 4 or 5 years for that very reason, to be able to put a foundation to our children that we knew what was in them and that we could trust them. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone to parent-teacher conferences, how many times I've gone to sports games, or how many times I've just walked the halls of my children's schools, and so many teachers, administrators, and coaches will come to myself, will come to their mother and say, just your children are pleasant, your children are this, your children are so good to be a part of this program. And that's because we put something in them. Now, our children aren't perfect, right? But I do think, to your question, a lot of people are looking for schools to do things that should be taking place at home first.
So how can parents start getting involved in their children's lives when it comes to making proper decisions? How can they start? Where that conversation start, or what do the parents have to say? Because you might have some parents who may not even know how to communicate with their child. How do they start?
Yeah, I'll say this. I know Ms. Pettigrave, she has some great info. I'm about to listen and take some notes when she starts talking. I would say it has to be intentional. It's got to be intentional. And I understand, to your point, to your question, that some parents may not know how to have this conversation, but this is your child. I just can give the example of my children. I've told them often, and they've heard this since they've been young, your mother and I are the safest place for you. Like, outside of God, we're believers. Outside of God, your mother and I are the safest place for you. So you can come to us and have a conversation with us about anything, even if it's about something that you may feel like you might get in trouble with, you still can come and bring that to us. So for one, I would say to start to build that. And if you're a parent and you're hearing this and you're saying, okay, my child's a little bit older, my child's in middle school, my child's in high school, it's never too late to start, right? There's an ancient proverb that says the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, but the second best time to plant a tree is today. That means, yes, there are a lot of things that we wish we would have done 20 years ago. We wish we would have done 5 years ago. That's good. But if you don't start today, then you can place some of that blame on yourself. So I would say start where you are. Start having those conversations, even if it's a small conversation as, how was school today? My two youngest children are in middle school. And when they come home from home from school today and I have a conversation with them, I'm going to ask them, hey, what'd you do today? Here's a good question. Here's an easy one to ask. What was your favorite part of the day at school today? So I would say to start right where you are, and don't be afraid to start building the conversation with your child and let your child know without assuming, hey, I'm a safe place for you.
Right, right.
I'm a safe place for you to be able to come and have a conversation.
Nice, that reassurance. So, Ms. Petgrave, psychologically, in that term, how can a parent formulate their mind or gain that insight to actually say, here's what, I really need to get in touch with my child and you know, like, understand where they're coming from. How can you tell parents to start that process psychologically?
Samantha, that's a brilliant question. So thank you for that. Let me just say that children spell love, T-I-M-E. Not the latest iPhone, not the latest Air Jordans. No, children spell love, T-I-M-E. And unfortunately, we have a parental crisis worldwide because I think so many parents are busy just working to give them things while what the children need is actual love. And so the first 20 years of your life is built up on what you home in your communities, the norms, the behaviors, and so forth. And so if a parent understands that the seeds that I'm sowing is what is going to develop my child's character, then what seeds do I really, really want to plant? Mm-hmm. You know, if you should listen to some stories of people who have done great things, you would hear that it's a parent who believed in them. It's a parent that says you can become anything that you want to become. Mm-hmm. We have to understand the power of our words. You know, the entire world was spoke into being. That is the power of word. And we have the conscious mind. We have the subconscious mind. If parents get to the place where they understand that the seeds they plant, the conscious seeds that they plant into the subconscious mind of their children's life mm-hmm. is what is going to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. So you continue to tell that child, oh, you're stupid. Oh, you know, you're just like your father. You're worthless. You're this, you're that. Guess what you're going to have?
Wow.
You're going to have that as a product. But if even when the child is not performing like they should and you continue to tell them, you're a smart boy, you're a smart girl. Come on, let's try again. How do you think we could do this differently? Mm. It's amazing the children that we will develop. And I also want to point this out because I think sometimes we just ignore the fact that between ages 0 and 18 might make up about 20% of every population, but they are 100% of our future. And so how we feed them now is going to determine the future that we will have. Yeah. So what kind of future do we really have? And I like the fact that Carlos mentioned that many parents are pushing things onto the schools. Mm-hmm. Now, a poor teacher that has to teach God knows how many students for the day, we cannot put that responsibility. You know, we cannot put that responsibility. School really, really should just be able to enhance what the children already know, the foundation that they already know. And you know, Carrie, if you think about this, when a child has a solid foundation, we don't even have to worry about peer pressure. Peer pressure too much because they would have had a solid foundation that came from home.
Yeah.
So home is where it starts. Most of our social problems worldwide begins in the home.
Nice. So school coming back out in September. That's like about 2 weeks from now. I think school is reopening on the 2nd of September. What is the first thing a parent can tell a child about school coming up and how they should, you know, let's say, for instance, some of them going in Standard 5. I don't know if you're... Yeah, you know about SEA, right? You know about SEA? You know when you're going back out to Standard... Well, now my daughter, she's going into Standard 5 and she's like completely scared. So I was like, girl, no worries. It's okay. It's just an exam. You just go out there and do your best. But it have some parents who may not know how to start to have that conversation as we were talking with Carlos, right? So for the parent who has a child going out there in Standard 5 or even Standard 4 because the work starts at Standard 4, what can you say to them to help them cope with their child and with regards to mental health?
I think one of the first thing that I would encourage parents to do is to ask the student how they feel. Ask the child.
Right, right.
Get to know how they are feeling. It is important that we understand that. When I have to go into schools to talk to students, you know what the level of their anxiety is. Mm-hmm. If they don't pass for a good school, their parents are going to beat them or they're going to get in trouble. It's almost like they are afraid, mm-hmm. right? So let us stop to ask our children, okay, you're going to be doing in Jamaica, you know, ours is different. Mm-hmm. You're going to be doing this exam. How do you feel? Tell me how you feel.
Right.
Give them an opportunity to talk. And then here's the most important thing. Let them know all you want from them is their best.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you want from them. Listen, I just want you to do your best. Mm-hmm. That's all. I just want you to do your best. Right? And I think if students understand that parents are just expecting them to do their best, I think it takes some of the pressure off of them. Mm-hmm. It takes some of the anxiety off of them. Because when students are anxious, it means that they're living in survival.
Yeah.
You can't create when you're living in survival. You can't focus, mm-hmm. right? So let us try to have these talks with them.
Mm-hmm.
Spend time looking over their work, you know, and it doesn't mean that because they're preparing for these exams, you don't allow them play time. Play is so important.
Important, yeah.
So when my children were younger, one of the things, especially my boys who really, really didn't like study, what I would do, they get home from school about 3 o'clock and I would say, okay, you have 2 hours to do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Of course, you know, they're going to play video games for 2 hours. But, you know, at 5 o'clock, dinner, shower, because by 6 o'clock, it's homework. And you
right.
know where homework takes place with me. Mm-hmm. And I give them the opportunity to grab your favorite snack. Whatever your favorite snack is, bring it to the homework table.
Right.
And I'm there with them and I'm helping them. But the most important is to start this conversation. Don't just be telling them.
Mm-hmm.
Ask them, how are you feeling? Just like Carlos says, what did you like most about your day today?
Right.
Get them to a place to start communicating. But most importantly, let them know, I just want you to do your best.
Yes.
That's it. I just want you to do your best.
Mm. So it's
can
more,
I, I'll add this.
Mm-hmm, yeah, go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, having that conversation, and Dawn is spot on. This is one thing. I wrote a book on Activate Student Success. We've talked about this, Dawn and I, and I'm dealing with a lot of schools who have young people who are going back to school, making a transition. And one of the chapters talks about dealing or moving to higher education. And one of the things I said in that chapter was, understand that when you start this school year, nobody expects you to know all the material because you're just starting the school year.
Right, yeah.
Like, so a lot of children be kind of anxious going into whatever grade they're going in. But hey, you completed the grade before this, which gave you the opportunity to be here. But guess what? You're starting at the very beginning and it's okay. We don't expect you to know it.
Yeah.
We don't expect you to know all the information. We expect you to start to learn it. And just one of the other small things is I would have a conversation with the child, letting them know that it's okay and that a lot of people are feeling the things that they're feeling.
Yeah.
My daughter's in higher education right now. And she texted me yesterday that I'm anxious, mm-hmm. that I'm going through this, that I'm feeling this. I said, babe, I've been there. And guess what? Almost every other classmates, they're probably feeling the same way. So it's not a just you thing, right? Let your child know it's not they're feeling this way and nobody else is.
Yes.
This is mm-hmm. how a lot of people are feeling. So mm-hmm. it's natural and nothing's wrong. We'll work mm-hmm. through it. And once again, we don't expect you to know everything now.
Yeah.
You're just starting the school year off.
Because sometimes children do feel like they're alone in this predicament, in this situation, in this term, in this. They alone feel as though that, hey, everybody moving up, or this one brighter than me, and I don't know how to do this, and this one. So is that type of confusion, we as parents, we should be able to find out, hey, hear this now, what's going on? Talk to me a little bit now. What stood out to you in class today? What you didn't like? What happened? Mm-hmm. So that you could get to understand how they feel, right, during the course of the day?
Yes.
Yeah? So, question for you, Carlos. Now, guys, we have 4 p.m. news coming up, but we're going to come straight back to this interview after the news, all right? But really quickly, Carlos, for a single parent with, let's say, for instance, about 3 children or 4 children, how can you give them that type of motivation to to be there all the time and see, when I say see about their children, meaning to give them that amount of attention that the child needs or children needs on a daily basis?
Yeah, I would say to try to set aside time. Understand you're human, mm-hmm. and understand that you can only do what you can do as the parent. And here's one thing that I say to a lot of people, especially in the motivational space, give me the same energy. What I mean by that is a lot of parents beat themselves up for not being able to do more than what they can, mm-hmm. but they don't commend themselves for doing all the great things that they're doing. For one, if you're a single parent, you have a child, two or three, how about looking at all the wonderful things, all the great things that you are doing for your children, mm-hmm. and how pleased and grateful they are. So I just want to at least put that out there. Don't beat yourself up of not being able to do more when you're probably doing a whole lot if you would just look mm-hmm. at it. But the one thing I would suggest, this is what I did with my children, especially when they were younger. I would set aside specific time just for that child.
Right.
So let's say every Tuesday at 10 o'clock or for me in particular, this Tuesday is this child's day. This Thursday is this child's day. And it's not that we would do a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not that you have to do everything. So if I'm going to the grocery store, this Tuesday is my child, my daughter, she's going with me.
Right.
She's going to be in the car with me.
Oh, so, would it come across as if, you know, like, well, how come daddy always going with Trinaya every Tuesday? I want every Tuesday. You know, why can't I get... Does it have a conflict like that?
No, I promise you. And Don stated it earlier. Children spell love, T-I-M-E. Mm-hmm. What my child would do is they couldn't wait till their day. Wow. They would say, I see them going on that day. I can't wait till Thursday because on Thursday I'm going and you can't go. Ain't nobody else going.
That makes sense.
That's what I saw firsthand is they just enjoyed their time. And like I said, sometimes it was just going to the store and they had that 15, that 20 minutes. So I would say trying to set aside some specific time for the individual child to make them seen and make them be able to know that they're heard.
And that is something that...
And you know
that
what, Chris, like real quickly, mm-hmm. is that all three children, three different personalities, and this is why it's so important that you have your individual time with them, because,
true.
I mean, all my children are so different, and that's exactly what I did. One was in choir, and our mornings was Saturday, and all I did was, for 2 hours, I have to drive into choir, and I have to stay there. But I am there with him, and that was his time.
Right.
On the way back home, we'll stop at his favorite place and we'll get food. That was his time. But guess what? He enjoyed that moment. That's when we get to talk about his stuff without his brother and sister interfering. So learn your children. And, you know, don't beat up on yourself, as Carlos says, as you go along. But I do want to point this out.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a situation where you know that you need help, don't be afraid to ask for help.
Mm.
When my children were doing Spanish and French, I don't speak them things. But there was a young lady at my church who was very fluent.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out for help. So don't be afraid to ask for help when you need it.
Nice. I think that solidifies it there. Because at times I'm a single parent as well. And you see that technique you all talk about, I feel like I'm gonna try that when I reach home. I would assign days. Because sometimes as a single parent, we feel so overwhelmed because we have so much things to do. And I like that idea. And I want to encourage you guys, all our listeners, let's try something, because sometimes we sit down and we like, it's so much that we don't even have time to unwind and say, all right, let me go with a clear mind. Let me see if I can assist. Let me see if I can sit down with my children to, you know, help them out. But we can't because it's so much. So all my listeners, everybody who's listening, let's try something different. Let's try assigning days for each child and focus on that particular child on that day. And that's a real good idea. No, Petgrave, I love that. I love that, Carlos, all the times. I like that. That's really nice. But this is something that should be, you know, relayed and taught in different spaces. So, like, for instance, the workspace, let's say, for instance, if you have friends who can support you and be there, this is something that we need. And our children
definitely.
Need
you
that
know,
as well.
It's one of the things that I'm encouraging corporations, company, whether it's small or large companies, mm-hmm. for them to invest more in their human resource, because the mental wellness of your staff is going to affect your bottom line.
Yes.
So it is important that just like you might have health insurance, that you are also looking into an employee assistance program with, mm-hmm. With a psychologist or a counseling company, mm-hmm. so that your employees will get the necessary help.
Yes.
Because when a person is mentally well, they are more productive and yes. you're going to see more out of them.
Yes.
But just imagine a single parent, mash down, pop down, trying to pay the bills, not mm-hmm. making enough. Every minute she's calling out from work because something is going on with this child, something else is going. That mm-hmm. is going to affect your bottom line.
Yes.
So it is in your best interest. Just like you plan your marketing budget and you mm-hmm. plan this budget, we really, really, as corporations, need to be planning a budget for our employee wellness.
Yes. With me, I have two special guests, and we are speaking about mental health awareness, back to school jitters. So we're talking about mental health and children. Please help me welcome back Ms. Dawn Petgrave, licensed associate psychologist, and Carlos Spencer, motivational speaker. Hi, guys. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Hey.
Nice. So let's get back to it. So, Carlos, motivational
yes.
speaker, you have this book called Flip the Switch. Tell us a bit about that. What does that mean? And, where can we get this book?
Yeah, so it's available on Amazon, or you can contact myself, Carlos V. Spencer, and that's V like Victor, Carlos V. Spencer on any social media, but it's also available on Amazon. If you search my name, Carlos V. Spencer, there's actually two books. One's called Flip the Switch. This one in particular is called Activate Student Success, Flip That Switch. So roughly where the book came from, I was actually in a course learning about solar panels with a friend of mine, mm-hmm. and they were talking about electricity. And this gentleman who was teaching on electricity taught me something that I had never heard. Now, if you're an electrician and you know this, you may have heard this before, but most of us probably have not. Whatever room that you're sitting in, mm-hmm. that room, if you turn the lights off, the electricity doesn't leave the room. The electricity is there. There's just a switch that's not closed to be able to activate what's already present.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, I lost it. I can no longer hear about electricity. I said, somebody give me a pen, a computer or something. But right there, it dawned on me that if we flip the switch, we can activate what's already present. We're not turning on something that's not there. Electricity doesn't leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
It's present there. It just needs to be activated. So after writing that book, my mentor, Dr. Debbie Thompson, she said, Carlos, you need to write a book for students. And I was like, really? And so I had been teaching and I've been in the student space, motivating, speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, yeah, you need to write one for students specifically. And so I took that book and then I wrote a student edition for those making the transition, middle school to high school, mm-hmm. high school to adult life. And I'm also a college athlete. So also for the college athlete. So roughly overall, motivating people, letting them know that whatever you're looking to accomplish, you probably have it in you.
Mm-hmm.
You just need somebody to help you activate it. So you can get everything out of you that's been placed inside.
Now, Carlos, every book, right? Once you read in a book, there must have a line in a book that you would always remember, that will never leave you. Tell us what line is that for you?
For the second one, it's actually on the cover. Success is a lifelong learning journey. And I'll say that again. Success is a lifelong learning journey. And what that means is success is the path. A lot of people think success is a destination, and it's not. They're looking for a destination to actually get to. I want to get to this place. No, it's the journey.
Hmm.
So success for students, for parents, for people, you need to understand that once you make a decision, I'm going to be successful,
mm-hmm.
you're successful.
Nice.
It's on that path. Success is a lifelong learning journey.
Nice. Ms. Petgrave, let's talk about success and children and going back to school. And how can we as parents help them to develop that mindset as a psychologist?
All right. Again, it goes back to that communication and having good relationships with them.
Mm-hmm.
We need to define success with children because like Carlos says, many persons think that it is a destination. So for us, Carlos is in New York. For us mm-hmm. in the Caribbean, we know it's those exams, in education, we have two modes of learning. And one is you have the end result
mm-hmm.
or you have the process. It's called the process or the model. So a lot of times, we just focus on the end result. We want that CXC's, we want that CXC's. So we may just teach to pass that CXC, but then we miss the process. We never enjoyed the process. As a matter of fact, this is why many students, when they get to high school, they fall into trouble because they just study to pass those exams.
And that's
prior,
it. Yeah.
But they never really spend time during the process, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's very important that parents are having this conversation mm-hmm. with their children. Again, hear from that child, what is success? But we need to understand that success is just setting a goal and achieving it, mm-hmm. you know? So if I decided that I want to get an A on my English and I got an A, I was successful, mm-hmm. you know? Somebody else may see it as, well, you only got one A. It depends on what success is for you, all right? Encouraging parents to help students to develop emotional agility.
Yeah.
So we're not easily flustered if we don't get the grades that we're looking for, mm-hmm. or if the journey becomes a little bit heavier than we had expected. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that I would love for parents to be talking to their children about stranger danger, especially for the ones leaving primary school into high school. Mm-hmm. I think some students are going to be taking public transportation for the first time. You're going to be, you know, traveling further from home. Is stranger danger? Who's a good stranger and who's a bad stranger? Is safe spaces? If something is happening, where do you go? Who do you turn to? Mm-hmm. Bullying, you know, this is something that we see. We've seen an increase in the schools with fights and stuff like that. But bullying, teaching your child about these things, the presence of these things, so that mm-hmm. they are not bullying. And if they are being bullied, they will know what to do. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to bear in mind also that the students are going to go into larger classrooms.
Yeah.
These are conversations that if we're having this with them before they go, then mm-hmm. it makes the experience a little less traumatic for that child. Next thing is, the students may be moving around for classes, whereas mm-hmm. in primary school, you sit in one class, one teacher teach you all your subjects. Now you might have different teachers.
Yeah,
you're going to have different
school,
personalities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're with students from all different socioeconomic background. How do you relate to these? And so these are some of the things that I would love for parents to be talking with their students ahead of time.
Yeah.
And even if they're transitioning from high school to college, I mean, mm-hmm. look at the level of freedom that comes in college.
Yeah.
You know, you could be going to college every day and never go to a class.
Wow.
So it is important that we are making the students aware mm-hmm. of what is already out there
mm-hmm.
so that if they get to that place, they could say, wait, mom or dad or auntie or whomever
this.
Your guardian is, right,
yeah.
they talk about this. What do I need to do mm-hmm. now that this is happening? And when you check it out, just like you said earlier, 10 years ago, we weren't talking about these things. And so mm-hmm. it's important that we're having these conversations. There are schools mm-hmm. that I work with here. And let me tell you, we do, just to make it fun, we do journals. We develop journals. I print worksheets on stranger danger, mm-hmm. you know, good touch, bad touch, all these things. And I'm teaching fifth graders, sixth graders, because they're going to be transitioning into high school
yeah.
so that they will now become aware. So in the event that any of these things show up, they will know what to do.
Yes. Now, Ms. Petgrave, you made a statement just now. You made the statement that, you know, to have some children who would now be traveling for the first time. I'm one of them parents. That's my biggest fear. To let my daughter travel. What can you say to us? And I'm very sure I'm not the only parent out there who I want to be able to drop my child to and pick up. But for us, that may not be possible, especially every day. So for the parents who are feeling the same like myself, how can we get over that trauma, or how do we get over that obstacle?
Well, number one, you know, definitely this is what I teach parents. First of all, you need to be praying for your child, praying over your child, and praying nonstop. That's number one. you know, but if you continue to shelter that child, you are not going to give them an opportunity to develop well socially.
Yeah, boy.
There's some things that they need to learn, and you're just going to have to give them the space to be able to do that. But have the conversation with them. Look, if you're going to take public transportation, call me when you're getting on the bus or getting in the taxi and put your phone away. So as a parent, you could say, okay, little Dawn is in a taxi. It's going to take about 50 minutes to get home. Mm-hmm. So you will at least have that. But it's also giving them the ability to grow and develop.
Right.
There's a young lady I was working with. She was in clinical depression. Her mom died. And even 6 months after her mom died, I could barely get her to take a shower. You can just imagine how bad this was. Now, when I dug up to see why is this crippling this child so much, because I gave her an activity. The activity was to do her laundry. I was like, okay, I needed to get up out of the room and do some laundry. She got so mad at me. She goes, I've never done laundry. Now, this young lady is a young adult.
Mm-hmm.
She's a young adult, but she has never done laundry. Never cleaned her room, never spread her bed, never cook her dinner, because what? Mommy's trying to make life easier for her. So mommy did everything for her. And unfortunately, mommy passed away crippled. Yeah. So what I'm saying, I had the same thing. The first time my son was like, Mom, I'm okay taking the bus. All my friends take the bus. I'm like, you must be out of your mind.
I said the same thing.
You must be out of your mind. But guess what? They become better adults. They become able to make better, solid decisions. All you have to do is just set the parameters and guide it. And again, it is important that as parents, we are helping our children to know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Know who they are, because once they have a solid foundation, I will repeat again. I mean, I took public transportation. My mother never have to worry if I'm gone off with some boy if I get home late. She know I couldn't get a taxi to get home because that foundation was already embedded in me. My mother told me, look, you're a smart girl. You're beautiful. God called you to do great things. So you can't go mix yourself up with any little chicken head boy that comes around.
Yeah.
My mom always told me I'm beautiful. Mm-hmm. So guess what? The first little chicken head boy, as she would call it, come and say, you're beautiful. That doesn't faze me. I already know that.
Right?
So as parents, we need to ensure that we are helping our children to discover who they are, discover their strengths, their abilities, their own likeness, their own authenticity. We have too many parents pushing children to become lawyers and doctors and all these things that the children have no interest in.
In it, yeah.
So then you find, again, children dealing with anxiety. I had one young lady that was diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Mm.
When I got into interviewing her, you know what the foundation of that was? She can't pass sciences, but her father tells her unless she gets into medicine, he's not paying for college.
Oh my.
So I asked her, what do you want to do? She wants to do IT. Now, can you imagine? This is why this child is now feeling like a failure, because she's doing, you're asking a fish to climb a tree. She was not cut out for that.
Yes.
So this is another conversation that I wish we could have with our parents. Watch your children. Look at the things that they gravitate towards. Mm. You know, support the things that they like. Just guide the conversation. But not all our children want to be doctors and lawyers. Some of them want to be entrepreneurs and makeup artists.
Yeah.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
Let them go be the best makeup artist there is and start a makeup company. Look at Rihanna and Fenty Beauty.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm, wow. Dawn, let me tell you
this too.
Dawn, I feel to stand up and get a standing ovation. No, I don't know why. But thank you so much.
Right?
Yeah, well, I just feel the time at the bank, only desk and all kind of thing because I'm excited. But Carlos, I know soon we have to wrap up, but I just want to hear from you. Now, Dawn mentioned something that this is what happens in our culture, in the Caribbean culture. After CXE, after high school, sometimes it reaches a point where children don't know what next. They don't know what to do. They're just gone. So some of them lie on the block, and that cycle starts over. So Carlos, for the young adults or for the young or the youths who just finished high school, August here, talk to them. I really need you to speak to them who are listening right now.
Yeah, so I say this. What are you good at? The quality of your life is based upon the quality of the questions that you ask yourself. I would say, and I get an opportunity to say this to young people a lot, start asking the question, what am I good at or what do I want to do? And watch this. If you don't know, that is okay. If you don't know what you want to do with your life, or if you don't know the things you're good at, it's okay. But start asking yourself this question so you can start to find out what it is that you want to do. If you aim at nothing, you sure will hit it. And I'll say that again. If you aim at nothing, you will hit it. That means if there is no destination, you will not get to a destination. Mm-hmm. There's an ancient African proverb that says there's a danger in having no name, because if anybody named you, then you'll answer to almost anything. Wow. So when you have no goal, no desire, no where you're going with your life, then whatever comes along, sometimes you end up doing it. And a lot of times we end up getting into trouble. And sometimes we end up doing things that we don't even want to do, but we've never asked ourselves the question, what do I want to do? Any young person, listen to me, I would ask them the question, what are you good at? What do you want to do? And start thinking about it. Here's a way to start to figure that out. What frustrates you? What frustrates you when you see somebody else do something and they don't do it well enough? Like, why are they doing like that?
That's a good place to start. That's a good place to start.
I would do it this way. I would do it that way. A lot of time, because that's your gift.
Yeah.
That's your area. That's something that you're called to do. And I would say to any young person listening here, and maybe you haven't asked that question, and who knows, maybe you won't ask yourself that question. I'm here to tell you, you're here for a reason. That fingerprint that you have, it's like nobody else is in this entire world. There are billions of people in this world, yet you have a fingerprint that nobody else has, which means that you're in this world for a reason, and you're in this world to do something with your life, and you do have a gift and you do have a talent to actually do something. I would definitely say to that young person, what are you good at and what do you want to do? And once you ask yourself those questions and you start to figure out the answer, the next step I would say is find somebody else who's in that space and then learn from them. Because when you learn from them, and you can now learn the mistakes that they made that you don't have to make. You can now learn from them the things that they can give you. Ask somebody a question like this. If you're a young person, here you go. Great question. This is worth the price of admission. Ask somebody who is mentoring you, what would you tell your 20-year-old self? Ask somebody who's been doing something for 20 years and they're successful. What would you tell your younger self? And what they're going to tell you is something that they wish they did earlier. And that's something that you as a young person should start to ask yourself, what am I good at? What do I want to do? If you have an answer, start going towards it. And if you don't have an answer, allow your mind to start to think about, what am I good at? And I promise you, you are on this earth because you're here to do something.
Wow. Hey. But I ain't standing for this one. But you know what? Oh my gosh, I'm feeling to tear up right now because, well, it just brings so much awareness. And I'm sure I'm not the only person feeling like this. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Dawn and Carlos. Guys, I wish we could continue this conversation for about the next hour and a half. But you know, this is something that we really need to get a handle on, and when I say we, I mean us adults and us parents. We really need to have a different mindset when it comes to our kids, when it comes to our children. We have to do that, and we have to start talking to them. We have to start motivating them, just like what Carlos did. We have to start paying attention. We have to start thinking about, hey, listen, we would not be here forever and ever. So when we are gone, you know, they would be able to stand on a foundation and continue their lives in the best positive way ever.
Awesome, man.
Yes.
Yes.
So I want to thank you guys for joining me today. It was a very awesome conversation. I didn't think it would have gone on so long. I might get buff after, but that's okay. I will take the buff because this conversation was worth it. And let me say, I really do hope that we can get you guys back here. But Donna, I didn't know you came here before.
Oh, yes, yes. I've been on your stations quite a few times, actually. And I used to come to Trinidad every month.
But thank you. Thank you so much for joining us once again. And Carlos, listen, I really hope we can get you back again, you know. Because you see them words, you see this. You see, we need that type of words here, and especially in Trinidad and Tobago, and how things are going. I don't know if you pay attention to the news, but you're seeing how society is now, and we need persons like yourself. We need persons with that type of mentality to pull others up, Carlos. We really do need that, and I hope you join us here again.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you for having us, too. As well, I'll say, we'll probably be off the air, maybe it's today or another day. Mm-hmm. If you gather some information, you contact myself or Dawn. I'll give a book away to somebody, too. I don't know how you will do that on your show, but get in contact with me if you want to do that and give a book away to a parent or to a student. More than willing to do that to help somebody out.
Well, that's not a problem. I'll speak to the producers and they would organize with you. And then when it's time to give away, we give it away. So thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good one. Bye. So guys, you heard it. Dawn Petgrave, licensed associate psychologist. And Carlos Spencer, motivational speaker. We are speaking about mental health awareness, back to school jitters. We are talking about the kids. We are talking about ourselves as parents. Listen, Ole, let me try something new. Let's do something better for our kids. Let's start to ask them, hey, how are you feeling about this? How are you feeling about that? Let's do it. Let's do it differently. Let's not continue doing the same thing and expect different results. Let's not pressure them, because they know we're always pressuring them because we are pressured. And you know what I'm going to take back from this as well? And I'm sure you are going to take this back as well. I'm sure you're going to take this back too. Assign a day for each child. You understand? Time and a date, so that you wouldn't feel as though you have so much to do. And even assign a day for yourself to let them know, listen, you see, today's, every Tuesdays, or every Fridays, or every Sundays, it's going to be my day. Give me a little chance, give me 2 minutes, you know, that kind of way. And assign days to them. I really like that. I think I'm going to take that back with me. This was an awesome, beautiful conversation. Yeah. Mental health awareness, back to school jitters. So don't put no pressure on them, cheering on them now. Let me don't put no pressure on them. Let them know that their best is good enough. All right.